Stand clear of the closing doors, please.
Hey, baby, let's go out there like a bunch of crazy dogs and have some fun.
You gotta give us a shot.
You know what?
You gotta give us a shot.
What is up, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of Clapback Sports. I am your host, The Mage. As always, I am joined by my co-host. Let's start with Tino today, because fuck Murph. Tino, what's up, brother? How are you feeling?
I feel really good. Could be a lot better. Maybe if we didn't lose by less than 3 points each of the last three times we've lost football games, I'd feel a lot better about this. I don't want to get into Giants stuff already. You asked me how I'm doing. I'm struggling. I'm still alive, but I'm barely breathing. I'm not happy about Monday's result, guys. Murph, how are you doing? I know you've had a long last 24 hours. Long Monday, too.
I don't know, man. I don't fucking know anymore. It's just like a broken record. I got nothing.
Defeat.
Just another fourth quarter, bro. 18 in 3 years. 18 in three fucking years.
Oh, I am happy about the results of this week's game, even though it was a loss. But before we get into that, make sure you follow us on Twitter. You can find me at @TheMage_NFL. You can find Murph. Are you suspended currently, Murph, or no? You're off suspension? Off suspension?
No, nope.
All right.
Locked down. Being censored.
Oh, you are suspended?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, all right. So Murph is being currently
for defending the boy, the god, the king, Daniel Jones, and then he shit on me on Monday. So was it worth it? No.
Would you do it again? Would you do it again?
Yes.
There you go.
All right. Well, you can try to find Murph on Twitter @1MurphBlue, and then you can find Tino on Twitter @TinoRodriguez, _@the_end. Find us, Clapback Sports, on Twitter and Instagram @Clapback_sports. All right, boys, so let's dive right into it. The Giants lost by 2 points to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. You know, I'm just going to go ahead and get started here because I said that I was going to start on a positive note. We lost the game, but guess what? I'm fucking excited about that loss because the one thing that I wanted to see heading into the season, I know, Murph, you give me a ton of shit for giving or saying that the Giants were going to go 9-7. But the one thing that we all talked about is that we wanted to see results. I wanted to see if this coaching staff, anytime that we did a preview about the New York Giants, the one thing that I said is I was most excited about this coaching staff this season. That's what I wanted to see. It wasn't a player in particular. Yes, I want to see some progression from Daniel Jones, et cetera. But I want to see this coaching staff. Let me tell you, we lost to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. We're 1-7. I feel really fucking good for the first time in a long time about the direction of the New York Giants. The Giants, I'm sorry, they do not play like a 1-7 team. They don't look like a 1-7 team. There are some areas that they need to improve on. I don't know what you're saying, Murph. You're muted, but.
Because I don't want to yell, but that's exactly what drives me fucking crazy, bro.
But here's the thing, and. I
get it. I see the positivity. I see it.
I love what we have.
Fuck, man. The Steelers, the Bears, the Eagles, and the fucking Bucks. We had them all in the bag.
You're right. Those are all losses, and I tweeted out the other day, right, that the Giants have 4 losses of 4 points or less. I mean, those are very winnable games. If you win those 4 games plus the one that we won at Washington, it's a much different story, guys. We're talking about 5-3 record. I mean, at that point, we're pretty much running away with this division. But, and then I want to get your input, though, too. But I want to start on a positive note. I'm very happy. Joe Judge, I think, and I forget who said it the other day, Murph, but I think it might have been Frank the Tank that said, we found our version of Bill Belichick. I think that might be a little premature, but I feel really good about him. Or maybe it was Bill Parcells. But... And Jason Garrett is coming around. The play calling was better this week. And I said that I thought that the play calling in Philadelphia was the best I've seen all season. And then all we did was piggyback off of that. I really think that COVID ended up hurting this team quite a bit. not having that type of continuity. And guys, we started three rookie offensive linemen this week, and the offensive line looked pretty good as well. So I'm going to start there in terms of the positivity. I know that the record isn't that, but we knew we weren't going to be a winning team this year. But this team does not fucking give up, except for maybe Golden Tate, which we'll get to. But this team does not give up, man. They're in this till the fucking end, and they are fighting for these coaches, albeit whether it's Joe Judge or Patrick Graham.
So you were positive. I gave you time to be positive. I'm normally the positive guy here, but I just got to be the negative one for a second here, okay? We are what the record says we are, okay? We have not won those games, and I'll tell you why. In those fourth quarter situations, Jason Garrett has been better, but when we get closer to that end zone, he starts to cradle, and he starts to babysit those play calls. It was a good play call. Danny could have hit him on time. But you know something? I knew we were going to score a touchdown, and for whatever reason, we were just not going to get the two-point conversion, whether the play call was good or not, because we just shrink come the red zone right now. All our plays, all our touchdowns are big plays. I mean, gigantic chunks.
And red zone in the second half, man.
I'm just frustrated that once we cross midfield, our offense still hasn't been the same. Has the play calling been better? Yes, but I don't love the calls. Like, granted, Danny made some dumb decisions when we crossed the 50 on those two interceptions, but I also don't think the play calls were all that great leading up to it. We sustained drives. We converted first downs. I will give them that. But we also had a 3-and-out right out of the half, which is after the pick, we had a 3-and-out, which is not great. We had 5 plays out of halftime, and we did nothing with it and let the Bucs come back in the game. I think it was play calling coming out of the second half.
You know, let me interject real quickly on 2 points, and then I'll give you the rest of the floor. So this is a 1-17 that you talk about. I think there is a gap there between coaching and talent also, right? I think the reason we're not 5-3 is because of talent, not because of coaching. The other thing, which we can bring up later on as well, but you touched on it, those two interceptions that Daniel Jones had, right? They were bad plays. They were mental errors. But because of his playability and his innate ability, right, when it comes to those types of things, he also kept us in the game with the fourth quarter with that pass to Darius Slayton. So, you know, it's horrible when it doesn't work, and then it's great when it does. So I just wanted to throw that in there real quick.
Well, I might be biased because I know we got added, Clapback Sports got added a few times because they refused to take the Evan Engram reverse out of the playbook. They run it once a game, whether it's good or not, and it just drives me absolutely up a wall. I will say this about Danny. I'll just move away from Jason Garrett. I thought his play calling was much better, but I still do think now that how he's being taught, how Danny's being taught, you know, though, and we'll get to Golden Tate, but the whole Golden Tate thing that he's always open, I do think Danny missed some guys. I think Danny's only going through one or two reads now the more I'm seeing the sample size, and I think it's because that's how they taught it up now, and because we're in week 8, it hasn't fully gotten there yet, but it needs to get there because our offense is still holding us back. That's what I'm frustrated about. We can put together these long, elaborate 15-play drives every game, but most of the time we either get no points or 3 points out of them, and it kills. We put ourselves in a bind. We waste minutes off the clock, and then we give the ball to the Bucs, and they score in 2 minutes, and it just kills because our offense can't do that unless we sustain drives, and we never finish them to begin with. So I'm still frustrated with this offense. Love the defense, but this offense, and Danny just killed me on Monday.
Well, the last 3 weeks, Danny has started pretty good, and I don't know if that's the play calling or Danny just losing momentum as the game goes on, but I really like that no-huddle fucking quick-pace offense to open that game. And Danny, on the first couple of possessions, it was all quick throws. Quick throws, kind of almost like McAdoo's offense, dude. Like, literally, ball snapped, quick throw. And that's where Danny was succeeding, but when the shoulders started getting heavy, man, Danny started crumbling pretty bad. And I told Mage, I'm okay with the interceptions. I know they're not ideal, but we dealt with Eli Manning for fucking 15 years and he's an interception machine, so I can get over that shit. I can't get over him missing Slayton deep on that touchdown down the left sideline. I can't. And it happened again with Shepard. It wasn't a touchdown, but he was wide open deep as well. And like Tino said, it was probably his third read and he never even got to it. And both the Slayton one was 100% a touchdown. Shepard was fucking wide open too, but It just feels like we can't put this shit together, man. It's like Danny plays good last week, and then Danny struggles this week, and everybody else is like almost literally untouchable this week. And
it's, I will just, say
it's
this,
frustrating, but I see where you guys are going. There are positives.
I'm not as discouraged with the play calling in a sense that he did take deep shots this week. I'm happy about that. And yes, the reason people, especially Danny supporters, feel like he failed, it's because we asked for this forever. Like, they didn't even run the ball this game at all. They let Danny try to throw the ball deep, and for whatever reason, Slayton lost the ball in the lights, and then it was just out of Shep's fingertips, and then Danny just blatantly missed a couple, but it just wasn't working, and it was off, and we still had a chance to win the game. I just feel like during the game, and that infamous 3rd-and-11 screen in the red zone is really the one that kind of summarizes what I'm trying to say as best as possible. We're still playing and coaching to not lose games, and we're not playing to win them. Well, and it's driving me insane. It's driving me insane. It's the same situation every week for that exact reason.
We had the lead in Dallas. We had the lead in Philly. We had the lead this week. And we stopped stepping on the throat. I don't get it. It's like Garrett fucking freezes. And he had that issue in Dallas.
I'm going to stop. I'm going to disagree with you, because part of that has to do with the turnovers that come from Danny. Because they're also momentum killers, right? I believe the second interception that turned into a Mike Evans touchdown. You can't give a team like the Tampa Bay Buccaneers a short field. You just can't. And that's where I want to see Danny improve.
I mean, that's fine, but I've seen it in three games now where we've fucking had a blown open lead.
But again, the Rams, we're in a position to win. What does Danny do? Throws an interception.
I'm not even talking about the Rams. I'm just talking about Dallas.
Maze, you're right, though. You're right. And for me, though, with Danny, my frustration is the timeliness of it, though. You're absolutely right. You can't give Brady and the Bucs an offense that hadn't got anything going. The ball at midfield, two plays out of the half. Deion Lewis explodes for a 45-yard return. We're up 8 points. And we turn the ball over in two plays. No time trickled off the clock. Granted, they only had a field goal. But literally, we 3-and-out. It's the same thing every week. We work so hard to get these leads, and then we let it up almost instantly, despite as good as our defense is. And it's the timeliness of Danny's turnovers. I mean, let's face it, he should have taken a sack, or he should have thrown the ball away instead of throwing those two passes.
Well, the other thing I want to come back on, too, because you guys talked a lot about the missed throws. The one thing that I think people outside of the region didn't realize is, Tina, I know you're in the area, but the winds were pretty bad that Monday night, though. So I do think it affected some of those deeper passes, because the one thing that Danny's been really good at is deep ball accuracy. So I do believe that the winds, due to the effect of the hurricane or the storm that was in the area, it did pick up the winds in MetLife. And if you've never been to MetLife, there's not a building around it, so there's nothing to slow down the winds there. That's it. It was worse in the old stadium, but it's still pretty bad there also. Now, the other thing to piggyback off of Daniel Jones' mistakes, I'm also tired of this fucking team, man. We have Le'Veon Gallman actually breaking and, I mean, looking extremely patient, waiting for the hole to open up, running for 10, 12 yards. I believe he was averaging close to 5 yards a carry. And then it gets called back by fucking holding penalty.
And we never called the play again, by the way.
We constantly shoot ourselves in the foot.
We do.
I mean,
that was a bad hold, though.
Situation where
that was a bad hold, Mage. That shouldn't have been called. In his defense, we shoot ourselves in the foot. Nick Gates gets a ton of holds every game. He's due for one. But that was a shitty call. That was a shitty call.
Well, that goes to my third point. But the other thing is, though, too, is that we constantly find ourselves in these situations where we have a 2nd-and-4, then it's called back by something fucking stupid. And they have to stop shooting themselves in the foot. Joe Judge, being that type of no-nonsense guy, he has to drill that down. He has to get rid of that, right? Now, this is where the talent gap comes in. You're just not talented enough. Sometimes you have to trip or you have to hold, right? I mean, it's kind of where we are as a team. Now, to your other point, you know, remind me what it was again.
I couldn't even tell you. I want to build off a positive real quick here, though.
Okay, got
it. One more thing. Yeah, and we can keep this in. That's fine, because there's no need to edit this. This is just natural flowing of thoughts of what we're thinking the Giants need to improve on. And you mentioned it was positive to see that 3 rookies started. We should start 4. Enough is enough. We should start 4. It's just it. And not even for the reason that Matt Peart's our best lineman, not even for the fact that he's playing better than the sack of shit of Cam Fleming, but everyone realizes now we're picking probably in the top five, top 10 again. We don't have time to lollygag around anymore. Danny doesn't have time to just do what he's doing, and we don't get any new guys in, and we don't know what we have. We are either drafting a receiver, a lineman, a quarterback, or someone to help this defense out, but we don't need the defensive help anymore, so it's one of those three offensive positions. And obviously, I don't want to draft another lineman, but if we're in the top three position, we need to draft Sewell. I think he's the best player, but honestly, if we start all the people we invested last year's draft capital in, we'd still be fine. We don't even need Sewell. Maybe we can open up and take a receiver or consider doing something with Danny. But all those hypotheticals don't happen unless we get all our young guys in the game. We need to start all four rookies.
We've been saying that for 3 weeks, and we're finally seeing it. So at least that's a positive, because we always ask for things from this fucking
It's got to get more than where it's at, though. It needs
well,
to be
I mean,
more
you saw
than
Carter Coughlin in there a bunch this week, too. I mean, it's slowly coming.
I get it.
Who isn't playing, though, now? I mean, we're at a point where most people are playing, which is a good sign, which is a good sign. We're not used to that as Giants fans, and we can take that as a positive. But you also, I mean, the whole Shane Lemieux thing, I mean, would that have happened this week if Will didn't get COVID? So, and I mean, how the fuck do you put Will back into the lineup?
And you're going to tell me our offensive line didn't look as good as it has all season. I don't think that's by a mistake. I think
know they didn't great, whatever. But, like, dude, we moved the fucking ball against a good team. And you know what? The Skins have a good D-line, and that's who's up next. And you know what?
Although Murph isn't going to
actually, hold up. Will's not playing this week regardless, right?
No.
Okay, never mind. So I wouldn't – you couldn't put him back in this week, in my opinion, but I'm glad that's not a decision we have to make.
One more thing to note, Joe Judge said that there's a rotation moving forward.
Right.
Based on Lemieux's performance just last week alone, they will rotate their guards just like they're rotating tackles now, which I don't necessarily hate, but at the same time, I would much rather see. Like, the thing is, Matt Peart right now is getting hurt by game scripts. The Giants either have three and outs or like 15 play drives. So Peart isn't necessarily on the field for a lot of those long drives. So his snap count is dying because of it. He didn't allow pressure this week. Put him on the starting unit. Let him get in with those guys. And if you want to rotate Fleming in, then rotate Fleming. Give Peart the start. I've seen enough. Just give him the start. What's the worst that could happen?
Well, Shane Lemieux did have a PFF pass grade of 12.1%. And Murph loves that.
Don't care. He went against Ndamukong Suh all night against the best fucking team in the league right now. I don't care.
He gave up the most pressures on the ground, too. The most pressures on the team, but when you watch that game in live speed, you don't know he gave up the most pressures
like
on
that,
the team.
Right.
It didn't at all.
So,
well, here's my thing.
Hold on, one second, Murph.
The one thing about having Shane Lemieux in that lineup is that Andrew Thomas looked better next to him.
And what did I fucking say last week about everybody that stands next to Will Hernandez, dude? I mean, maybe that was the whole fucking problem from the start. Maybe that's part of whatever our issue on the left side was, but I'm done with Will, but we just to touch back on the experimenting and rotation piece. I mean, you look around this team, there's a lot of guys getting on the field, dude. I'm seeing BJ Hill making plays on the D-line. I mean, he's like third. You know, I saw Isaac Yiadom, right? He played a shit ton this week. I haven't seen him in 2 weeks, I feel like. I didn't see any Ballantyne. Maybe I was just missing that. And, dude, I got to go on record. Maybe she'll be happy. Jabril's getting better by the week.
He looked really
fucking
good.
Dudes all over the place. He had nine tackles, maybe a sack. But he's coming in the clutch when we need it right now, and that especially in that linebacker position like we talked last week.
Although there was one play I was disappointed about. I forget who made the catch, but it was a pass out in the flat. And, I mean, you're a safety. You're a return guy. And you couldn't catch up to bat the pass at all. Like he seemed a little behind on it, but I'm also nitpicking. But
He's a linebacker, bro.
What I do like is that his tackling is much better than what this secondary is used to. And the good news, boys, we can get Xavier McKinney back real soon. So that should definitely help that secondary a lot, too. We're probably going to be without Logan Ryan this week just because his wife, the story came out with Jordan Renan. I guess his wife had emergency surgery that one of the trainers actually suggested that she go get looked at. And Joe Judge, being the coach that we all know and love, said, hey, family comes first. If you need to go to Florida, you need to go to Florida. Don't worry about how much time you miss. So the Giants might be without Logan Ryan this week, but against the Redskins, I don't think we really need him all that much. And again, I want to see improvement. So, Murph, did you have anything else to add?
But we could talk about the improvement. Like you said, they are taking strides in every way, shape, and form. This team, the mentality, I mean, we talked about it in the summer compared to now of what we were expecting from the team. I think we're getting that so far. I think it's more disappointment in terms of just the expectations I have for Danny. I think that's just where I'm at after Monday. Again, I love that we're competing with the Bucks, but fuck the Bucks. I wasn't scared of them to begin with. I didn't believe that spread. The Giants are a one-possession team regardless of the competition in front of us. We really are. It's just irking me that we're that predictable. And still, despite us taking more shots, teams know we're predictable. They're not scared of what we have on offense. They don't. Danny doesn't make them bat an eye at all. And it just sucks because our defense now has an identity, but I don't think our offense has one. And well, that's huge.
It's funny that you bring that up, Tino, because the one thing that I still can't get out of my head, right? Because this defense, we look good, but we're still giving up massive yardage on defense. But they hunker down when they have to, and they make the plays that they're supposed to. But I was watching that Tampa Bay game. I'm like, man, this defense is really reminiscent of – anybody want to fill in the blanks?
I'd love to hear what you think instead of just guessing wrong.
All right. I think it was 2 years ago, maybe three, I forget. But who had the number one or it was the number two ranked defense in the NFL, scoring defense, but gave up a fucking shit ton of yards?
Us.
The Patriots, remember? The Patriots defense, like two – the Patriots defense, not last year, I think the year before, it was like the number two scoring defense in the league. It was the Patriots had one of the top defenses, but they gave up a shit ton of yards every single game. But when it came down to it, they didn't get fucking scored on. And that's really what this defense is reminding me a lot of. And I'm curious. I don't know if Patrick Graham was there or not at the time, but – it really, when I look at this team, it really feels pretty reminiscent of it.
Well, I will say the thing about our defense right now is that we have so many people rotating in on that defensive line. What Patrick Graham is doing at the line of scrimmage is absolutely bonkers sometimes when he has Leonard Williams head up on the center and then he just goes like all stand-up ends on the outside of the right side of the line and just has backers. It looks like man-to-man. He messed Brady up on that one big third-down conversion, held him to a field goal, if you remember the play I'm talking about specifically. But he's mixing a lot of things up. I think one thing that kills me all the time is that teams are starting to adapt when Dalvin and Dexter are on the field. That's when they're running. Teams aren't afraid to run the ball on second or third down against us when those two are off the field. And I think that's why we give up a lot of third downs. It's been killing me since the start of the season. I'm like, why does this keep happening? I'm telling you, Brady was smart enough too. I think when we have certain packages out there and certain people out there, they're definitely picking up on it. Because let's face it, Dalvin and Dexter are fierce run stoppers. And I think they rotate him with Leonard Williams when they want to get a pass rush. And as soon as that happens, they're starting to run the ball a little bit more. Because let's face it, Leonard Williams is starting to become a real big force up the middle there as a a complete pass rusher. Everyone shit on him last year when he didn't get home. Now he's accumulating sacks. And so that's something entirely different. That's going to be a whole other rabbit hole we'll go down at one point. But we have Leonard Williams to figure out this offseason, depending on how good he does this season.
And DT. Both of them.
Yeah.
We have a lot of offseason work to do. We've talked about that. I mean – a lot of dudes making plays on this defense are on one-year deals, dude. Just, I can't forget that for some reason. So, what's next, Mr. Mesh? You look like you're researching something.
Yeah, I was. So, I was actually looking this up. So, last year, the New England Patriots actually had the best scoring defense in the league. The year before, they were seventh in the league. And then in 2017, they were fifth in the league. So again, but I mean, look at this. It's just for comparable sake, you look at Minnesota Vikings in 2017. They had the best scoring defense, only giving up 252 points. They only gave up 4,400 yards. The Patriots gave up 5,800 yards that year. I mean, it was fourth in the league. They gave up the fourth most total yards, but yet their scoring defense was fifth in the league. So that's what I really saw a lot with, you know, because it frustrates the shit out of me, man, because it's like, just get off the field. Get off the field. But it's almost like you actually prefer the Giants defense to be on their own side of the field, you know, with 30 yards or less, because that's where the stops seem to come. It's kind of like playing with fire, but they're getting the job done, though.
Well, they have the mentality of bend, don't break. I think it's really apparent. And to be honest, they did it against the Bucs almost perfectly. But, you know, you mentioned the penalties are frustrating. I think one of the biggest frustrations I had for Monday night is just the bullshit penalties that the Giants were getting called on. They gifted the Bucs a 15-yarder on that helmet-to-helmet, which was a clear attempt at a makeup call that shouldn't have even been thrown to begin with, like two plays before it, and it killed us at that
point. A fucking pass interference on James Bradbury.
It was right there too. And so, and then the end of the game, we get hosed, and it's just frustrating because I felt like the Zebras haven't been on our side since the Dallas game. I was throwing fits about that. And then now, the last 2 weeks, and now 3 weeks in a row since the Eagles and whatnot, we just have not gotten a fucking call. And it's starting to drive me insane.
You won't be able to tell me otherwise. The fix is in. The NFL wants Trevor Lawrence and Justin Fields in its biggest market. I don't care. Call me a conspiracy theorist, what you want, but this is the NFL's doing. Because I'm sorry, a lot of those calls were absolute bullshit. Yeah. So James Bradbury did not impede anybody on that pass interference call, which we desperately needed, because I believe that would have been a three and out. I believe that was a third down call, if I remember correctly. So, and then again, so Daniel Jones goes down two fourth down conversions on that last drive and then throws the touchdown pass to Golden Tate in the end zone. And then we don't get the pass interference call. And Danny's to blame for that, again, with the fucking patting of the ball. What he needs to do on that situation is take the snap and then just throw.
Okay, but that play right there is why, look, that should have been the first target, but I feel like it wasn't because of that hesitation. And that's why I think they're not coaching it the right way. Unless Danny's just absorbing information this slowly. I mean, it doesn't make sense to me that he's consistently this late on reads or just with what's going on. Like, he's just oblivious to one side of the field at times. And so I don't know what's going on in his meetings with Jason Garrett. I don't know how he's breaking it down, but these are things he should start seeing literally at the line of scrimmage. And I think he's still trying to go through how Garrett taught him. And Danny just needs to be a baller. If that guy just went out and did what he can do, I would accept all the turnovers. But right now he's overthinking. He's overthinking way too much, and I just think it's an information overload or something, because it looks like he's about to explode.
I said that to you guys very early on in the season. I said, look at Danny's face. He doesn't look like the same quarterback from last year. And our boy Tap Jackson texted me too, Murph, saying the same thing. He's like, you know what? You were right. Because when you look at Daniel Jones, he just looks like he's processing too much information at the line of scrimmage. But I will give him credit. And I did say this last week versus the Eagles. Danny took charge of that play calling. So we saw more audibles. We saw Danny being more in charge at the line of scrimmage with the Philadelphia game. And we saw it with Dallas. He also changed up his cadence on the calls as well, too. How many times did he draw that Tampa Bay front off sides? Danny's doing a really good job taking control of the offense. You saw him calling a lot of audibles at the play. Changing it up, changing his cadence, changing his count. I like what I'm seeing. But you're right, Tino. It's the stuff that just makes you say, what the fuck are you doing? That really wants you to...
Nothing like, that we're not used to, bro. It's a fucking Eli Manning with
legs. Right with Eli, but...
It's literally the same fucking thing, dude.
Yeah, but Eli knew how to take the sack, though.
Eli fucking also gave up a lot of dumbass fumbles because he thought he was throwing it away, and it was a fucking fumble. I can't believe how many times that happened in Dallas.
Yeah, but look, Eli was infamous for this.
There's nothing you can say.
A defender comes within 1 yard of him, and Eli goes down before a defender even gets to him. So
Eli's the man, but Eli was a turnover machine.
He was. He absolutely was, but he had pocket awareness, something that Daniel
Eli Manning was horrible for his first 3 years. So,
look, my suggestion, here's what I would do if I was this coaching staff. I would blindfold Daniel Jones in practice, and I would send pressure at him for all fucking practice.
At the end of dodgeball?
I want Eli on the staff. I want Eli, like, literally in Daniel's ear all the time.
You
want
to be Patches O'Houlihan?
Will you let Eli enjoy his retirement?
No, like, we need him, bro.
You should have been Patches O'Houlihan for Halloween. I know this is a late idea, but I kind of see it now. I think if we just put the whole outfit on, like the long gray hair and the beard and the wheelchair, you look like an ABA All-Star, man.
Throwing wrenches at him, right?
Yeah. Oh, ADA, not ABA. I think I just named the bowling association.
But, I mean, honestly, like, he just seems to lack awareness. And then, I don't know. It's always on the sideline. It's always the right side, right? I mean, he doesn't – I guess the Pittsburgh game, right, he was rolling to his left and then supposedly tried to throw it away. That got picked off on that 19-play drive. But – when you go back to the Rams game, it was the right side of the field, right, when they were driving, intercepted. Then he threw two to the right side of the field this game. Like, at some point, like, somebody brought up the fact, he's like, a friend of ours, Abe, big Chargers fan. He's like, oh, well, Justin Herbert has a 4.1 GPA with a major in biology. So I like that my quarterback's smarter. Like, Daniel Jones scored a 37 on the Wonderlic. I think
Justin Herbert.
Exactly. That was my next point. And, like, Justin Herbert scored, I think, like a 20 or 21, something like that, on the Wonderlic. Like, intelligence has nothing to do with it. And I like Justin Herbert as a quarterback. I'm not knocking him. But football IQ is different than intelligence. And if that's something I think that Daniel Jones is struggling with right now. And I don't want to get into the whole draft talk. I mean, people are already doing that for us. But, I mean,
not to now bring the positive mood down, but the realization of the matter is, for me, is that, yes, we don't want to talk about it, but we've only beat Washington with Danny, pretty much. We beat the Bucs, and that's it. Okay? This week is a big week, not only for us, but for Danny, because if he does not perform well, you think it's bad now? They will disregard all the haters, all the media, all everything. Whether Danny does good or not, they're going to talk about his turnovers. But if they lose against Washington, they will not talk about how they beat Washington three times. They're just going to talk about how he lost this last time. And in the matter, they lost this last time. And we barely beat them the last time we played them. So I'm a bit shook this week, because I feel like, as much as we feel like Danny's had pressure on him, and yeah, maybe he rises to the occasion against good teams, against bad teams, he tends to go to sleep somewhere. And so if he does that this week, we're in trouble. And I think his whole mental game and the whole aspect of him being a quarterback is also in trouble. Because I don't know if this fan base, let alone Danny, can afford a loss to the football team right now. I just this is what we bank on. This is all we have. And if we don't have this anymore,
it'll fucking burn, dude. It'll burn. It will burn if we lose.
I'm
with you, but at the same time, I mean, I'm not going to sit here and say we're going to win on Sunday, and I'm not really feeling like we will. Why should I?
We're 3-point underdogs.
Team can't finish. I know they've showed improvement, but, like, they can't finish. I need to see it.
All right, you know what?
They barely finished in Redskins last time.
So I'm going to flip your negativity back to a positivity.
I like it.
Because honestly, man, I am feeling encouraged after that Tampa Bay Bucs game. I feel like that from this point forward, first of all, the way that we played against the Eagles, right? The Dallas game was really the turning point. We saw the offense start to come alive a little bit. Then against the Eagles, we started to gain a little more confidence. We just went against probably the best team in the NFC right now. And lost within 2 points. It came down to a bullshit fucking call on the 2-point conversion to give them the win. This team, I think, right now is flying pretty high. So, look, let's do this. The Giants are 1-7 right now. I'm going to ask you both. Let's go through the schedule rest of the way. Week 9, Washington, win or loss, Tino.
Don't do this to me.
I'm doing
it. I'm in a weak state.
I'm doing it, Tino.
I was too positive last time we did this. If we don't win 2 out of the next 3 games, I don't want to talk about any win losses. But just stop there. Okay, this is the soft part of the schedule. If we do not win 2 of the next 3 games,
and that's why I want to talk to you, though.
Washington, honestly, and oh my God,
positivity mage. Here we go. I see 6 wins.
If you want to be positivity mage, don't ask me and Murph what a win loss record is going to be.
That's why I want to ask you because I see 6 wins on the schedule. Are
2 or 3 of them?
Just fucking go.
Two now, of the three like, have to be in this.
The hell,
as Murph, like, as
the hell is he trying to get out here? Get
Murph, Washington, win or loss?
Win.
Eagles, win or loss?
Loss.
Home. You really think so? I think that's a win.
Okay, cool. Right, don't fucking ask me then.
Well, I am asking you, but I'm telling you where my wins are, you jerk off. Week 11, that's a bye week. At the Bengals.
Win.
At the Seahawks.
Loss.
Okay. Versus the Cardinals at home.
Loss.
Okay. At home versus the Browns.
Loss.
Ravens at Baltimore.
Loss.
And at home versus the Cowboys.
Win.
Tino. So what do you got? 3 wins the rest of the way then?
I used to feel Bengals, so confident.
Skins and
I used to feel so confident ending this month with the Bengals. The Bengals just beat the Titans at home. We will then go to Cincinnati and play them. I am losing my mind. We need to win a game. I don't care who it's against. I don't care how many we get them. I can't see these close games anymore. I'm losing it. We should beat all of these teams.
You lost it, bro.
Good or bad? 3 points, 2 points, 1 point. The last 3 losses we've had. If that doesn't make you go insane, I don't know what will. I can't look at win losses anymore.
Because
we're
going to
lose all of them by a combined 10 points. We have, 10 games left? We're going to lose them all by a combined 10 points.
Yeah,
preaching to the choir, my man.
I hear Tino Murphy Jr.
I mean, it fucking drives me crazy, dude. Steelers. All I got to say, Steelers, Eagles, Bears, Bucks.
Like, when is it enough, Mage?
But, again, it's the expectations. I think the problem is that you guys came in with the wrong expectations. We said it on this podcast. It wasn't about wins. Even with this roster as currently constructed.
Dude, it's hard to turn fandom down, bro.
I get that.
It's hard to not be disappointed. Obviously, we know the realism part of it. But that shit goes out the window at 1 o'clock on Sunday.
You're right. It does. I'm excited. I'm pissed off. I'm screaming. I'm scaring the fuck out of my kids at the end of that Tampa Bay game because I'm yelling my head off. I get it. Fandom doesn't go out. It doesn't go out the window. But that's why we play Monday morning quarterback, though, to help bring us back down to reality, right? That's why we do this show, so that we can bring some of that realism and analysis to our listeners.
I don't think anybody's being irrational or over the top here.
I like your positivity. I do. For me, it wasn't about the wins and losses, but now that we're through the season halfway and we only have one, it kind of is about the wins and losses.
It's just
if not, we're
not going to stay there.
We've been saying that, and I've been saying, there's no way we get the 1-1, and we're not because the Jets aren't going to win a game. But you know what? I can't say confidently we're not going to get 1-2. Or 1-3 again.
That's where I'm different with you, Tino, is because
right now.
The Philadelphia game and the Bucks game. This is the happiest that I've been all season despite a 1-7 record because this isn't a 1-7 team. We're not playing like a 1-7 team.
But
and
we are a 1-7 team.
So I get
but there's a difference between coaching and talent. There's a gap there. I agree with you, Tino.
Look, if we
I said we're not playing like a 1-7 team. I didn't say we're not a 1-7 team.
No, I get you. But look, there's a few situations like this, and I get why you're optimistic, because we're a younger team and there's upside. We're not like the Falcons that were 1-7 and they have all this loaded up on offense and this team that people thought could compete and they're not doing it. We're in a sense exceeding expectations from a game by game standpoint. And that's great. But now it's like, I'm tired. If we really want to change the culture, this has to stop. We have to turn these fourth quarter losses into wins. That's what won us Super Bowls when Eli was here. That's what made us the team that we were. We just can't continue to lose these games anymore. I think that's the part of fandom that's just eking me. I can't – give me a few games to hang my hat on.
Man, give me two right, of them. You've had your weeks to shit on Danny, and now me and Tino – are feeling a little down on Danny this week. And the rest of the team, stop.
Yeah.
You can be happy about.
You guys
are right.
What's
driving me crazy about this team is we can't click on all cylinders. The team looked great on Monday, and our fucking quarterback didn't. The team was sloppy in Philly, and our quarterback led us the whole night. So I'm just frustrated that we can't ever click on all cylinders.
I need a complete game.
I don't
think
that there isn't any necessarily no positives. I don't think everything's all doom and gloom. We're 1-7. We're in the worst division in the league. We could literally be fucking dominating the division right now. And I think all of that together drives me fucking insane.
Yeah, we should be dominating divisions.
You guys are right. Okay. And Tino, the reason why that we're losing games in the fourth quarter by 3 points and 4 points, again, it's because you're starting guys like Yadam and Lewis and Colbert. Like, we had – who was out there this week? Sheard we had that we just picked up that we promoted from the practice squad.
Yeah, Jamal.
It's like – that's why you're losing games by 3 points and 4 points. There's a gap
between
talent and the coaching.
But I can't say you're right. You're right. There is a gap. But I can't say that that's why we're losing games right now. Early in, like, that's my thing. Like, that's why I'm upset at Danny. Because when we were losing games during the year and they were picking on our CB2, I was like, we need another cornerback. It's just the easy way out. Bradbury's playing great. This last game, Bradbury wasn't safe either. And it came down to, in a slugfest, we needed our quarterback to rise to the occasion. And that time he didn't. So it's like he's got to get the butt of the blame right now.
You just took my question that I was going to ask you basically, but would you feel better about Monday if Danny had played better?
Yeah.
Me too. I would have. Even if we had lost. And that's like, just what I'm down I'm on. And
he scored the touchdown. He put us in a position to tie it, but honestly, win or loss, I still would have been critical on Danny, I feel.
Yeah.
Because you can't recover from those timely turnovers. Not against a Tom Brady-led team. And that's where he looked immature. He just looked really immature, and I expected that from a rookie, not from Danny in his second year.
And that's the thing, man. It's not the turnovers. It's just the way he played, especially literally probably from the end of the second quarter-ish through the rest of the game when the game was on his shoulders. He wasn't making the throws he normally makes. I mean, his accuracy has been great all year, no? Even in the short game.
And look, he's got the hard countdown. He's noticing defenses. He's elevating his game, but – he still looks scared in the pocket, and granted, this is probably the best offensive line performance, but he still looks uncomfortable in there, and I guess, you know, that's a part of it, so he loses his feet sometimes. The thing is, I mean, Murph, to your point, I'll be critical on Danny this week. Next week, I'll be critical on someone else, but until we get a complete game from this team, I just feel like we're still in this losing cycle of New York Giants football. I need a few of these wins to hang my hat on.
So it's something that I said, I believe, last week, and then I forget who said it today. I think it was Murph. But let Danny play football. That's it, right? Same exact thing with Andrew Thomas, right? I think Andrew Thomas should stop listening to Mark Colombo at this point and just go back to what you did at Georgia. Just do what you do best. I think Danny, like you guys have been saying, is we can live with the mistakes that Danny's going to make as long as he's bringing more positive plays than negative plays. But he has to get back to, I don't want to say killer instinct because it sounds kind of cliche, but that's what he did last year, man. He blocked out all the noise. He didn't give a shit. You could see it. He was playing football. He was having fun. This year, you got people in his ear. Throw the ball away. Take the sack. Don't fumble the ball. Make sure. And when you, every fucking snap, that's going through a quarterback's head. You're going to make the mistakes that he's making right now. And then when you're in a game like Tampa Bay, I don't know if he was trying to throw those two interceptions away or trying to make a play. But, I mean, when you have that much going on and you're playing against Tom Brady and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, you almost feel like you have to be better or you have to make those plays just so that you can compete. But you're right. I forget which one of you guys said it. Unmute yourself and take the credit, but he just needs to go out there. He just needs a ball. He just needs to do what he did last year, and that's it.
Yeah, I just said that earlier, but it's true because I thought he was on information overload. But yeah, I mean, he definitely needs to go out and ball. And if he's making aggressive errors and turning the ball over on bombs downfield, you know what? We live with that because he's trying to be aggressive. Those weren't aggressive errors this week. I thought they were just silly errors. I mean, yeah, he was trying to be aggressive in doing that, but not in those positions on the field. Like that wasn't aggressive. That was just like, you know, it was airheaded. I mean, he's just got to think. The one play, Sue was right on him. That first pick, the second play, Sue was on him. You don't have to do more. If he just takes that sack, look, those 3 points, a third and 18, it's impossible to convert. But if you gain 10 to 12 of those yards back and you're in field goal range, even though you're at the 50, take a field goal attempt. We don't need a two-point conversion at the end of games. We're wasting possessions when we cross that 50. And it's just the offense is just killing us right now. We have to put together more point-driven drives. We can't just have drives to have them with no purpose. We got to go down and finish drives and put points on the board. We did it a lot in the Eagles game. We did it in the beginning of the Bucs game, but we're not finishing the game by doing that.
All right, so forget about the Washington analysis, right, or what that team actually has to offer. What are you guys looking for in the next game? What do you want to see? What do you want to see the Giants build upon?
I want to see us put our damn foot on their throat and not let up to that last whistle, dude. I want to get a lead from the first quarter on, and I don't want to let it go. Is that hard, too hard to ask for, man? I want to get a lead at the beginning of the game and have a lead at the end of the game when the fucking last whistle goes. That's all I want.
For a 1-17, domination. It does sound like a lot to ask for.
I want
domination. Coast to coast is not easy, especially if you don't get the ball first. But I like your mindset.
We could have went coast to coast in 3 fucking games we've lost. Dallas, Eagles.
Well, you're right. The Bucs game, we had the lead until the end.
Come on. I'm sick of getting the lead, getting all hyped up. Like, literally, this is my Monday night. Fucking watch the game, you know, I'll go to my buddy's house. He's a Bucs fan, you know, watch the first half. Then I'll be able to watch him lose at home in bed. Fucking suck me in, dude. Can't leave at halftime. Sucked in by the middle of the second quarter every single week. And then we get conservative, man. So I just want to see them put it all together. I want Danny to play good. I want the defense to continue.
I don't think that they really had a lot of concerted play calling in the second half, though. The Giants got into trouble.
I feel like maybe we got to look at the numbers, but personally, I feel like whenever we get the lead, we try to establish more of the run game. And to me, that isn't going to work with our current team right now.
Get Alfred Morris off the fucking field. I'm sorry I had to say it. We haven't been conservative in the second half. Yes, we were. We were still trying to run the ball with Alfred Morris in the second half. We don't have Goldman in on carries. That's not aggressive play calling. We don't have the best players who need to be out on the field enough. And it drives me up a wall. You know what? Tate was open, and we didn't look to him until the end of the game. Fine. It is what it is. He had the trade concerns. But you know what? Shep wasn't getting any looks either. So if the ball to Slayton isn't there, stop giving the ball to Ingram. Ingram has the third most targets for tight ends this season. Go somewhere else. Do something else to make it aggressive play calling. Switch it up. And I thought they started the game by doing that a little bit. They got away from it in the second half.
It's like he wants to just chew the clock, dude.
Every time Deion Lewis is in the game, they try to have a designed play for him. Like the two-point conversion, that the touchdown in the end zone, that was for him. When he's on the field, that's why teams are able to jump those routes. It's too predictable. It's too predictable. Switch it up. Switch it up.
If it's working,
Alfred Morris off the fucking field.
It's working great, but
so what am I?
We have a complete game on Sunday, dude. We really do.
I'm expecting to see the defense play very well way they have played to keep us in a narrow game that will probably be decided by 3 points or less. I'm going to be realistic here. We're probably going to win it at the end. And I don't know, man. The same way they commit to giving Evan Ingram a reverse every game, can they commit to giving Danny a designed run every game? Just one. They got away from it last week. And I don't know if they were shitting their pants over this Bucs front, but they didn't call one. They got away from it. Make that mandatory every game. The same way we see Evan Ingram every game, make it mandatory. Pull a guard, pull two guards, either make it a rollout play where Danny could have an option to keep it, run waggle. I don't give a shit. But get Danny in space and run the ball with him, because he's our leading rusher. And then if you have Gallman off of that, it's a lot better. And you don't need to put Alfred Morris on the fucking field.
Well, you're right. That was something that I was a little disappointed that I didn't see them take advantage of in the Bucs game, is that they didn't have any design runs with Danny. But I do want to come back to what Murph said about this play calling and this offense. So the 2020 New York Giants, right, I believe that's where we are at this point in year. So the New York Giants, by quarter, pass attempts, okay? And we only lost four games by 4 points or less. So it's not like we're trailing big in a lot of these games. Pass attempts, 44 pass attempts in the first quarter, 57 in the second, 72 in the third quarter, 100 pass attempts in the fourth quarter. The difference from first half and second half, 101 pass attempts in the first half, 172 in the second half. Rushing attempts, 90 in the first half, 87 in the second half of games. It's pretty balanced rush attack, but
conservative doesn't have to mean running the ball.
But I'll stop you right there. Why did they have to throw the ball? Why did they have to throw the ball in the second half and the fourth quarter? Because they had a 2-and-out with a pick, and then a 3-and-out where the Bucs took the lead back, and then they have to throw the ball because this team can't establish a running game to save their lives. They can't decide how to score. So once they go down and blow those leads, like I said, we either put together 15-play drives or let the lead slip in a matter of seconds. And then we immediately have to come from behind, and that's why we just start airing the ball out and get irresponsible with the ball. I mean, that's why those numbers are so skewed. It makes sense that we're throwing the ball more in the fourth, because that's when we blow our leads and have to panic, go into panic mode and throw the ball, because we can't rely on anybody else. There's no way this team can lean on a run game. It just doesn't exist unless that run game is Danny, and it's just facts. And until that happens, they have to throw the ball the way they do to end games.
I mean, 3-yard passes to Caden Smith and Evan Engram, not even getting to the first down marker. It's just not going to cut it in the second half when you're leading. I mean, how many fucking completions, and part of that is Danny, but how many completions did we have in this game that were not even close to the chains, like for 2 or 3 yards? Did Danny get it out quick and to his receiver fast? Yeah, but I mean, eventually you're going to have to start taking more shots, man. I mean, I don't know. Do they not trust Danny's arm?
Well, we saw it more this game. They took more shots than they have at all.
And he's not making connection on what we see him take?
They take deep shots to the end zone when they're 40 yards away, but when it's 3rd and 11 and they're inside the 20, they're going to throw a screen to Deion Lewis. That's your shot to the end zone.
Or a flat to fucking Evan Engram.
Keep that same energy. I don't know why.
And again, a lot of that comes down to Danny, because he's the decision maker in that. But, I mean, you can't tell me that offense isn't predictable. It's so dumbed down. And that hurts us when we're leading, because they know what they're going to be getting.
I feel like Mage thinks we're ganging up on him. I like your statistics. It's just very frustrating that.
No, I was still looking at them to see if I had anything else, but I also don't want to keep you guys talking the entire time just to buy me time.
Let's talk about Giants signing Dante Pettis today. Obviously, he's had his struggles in San Fran. He had a tremendous, well, I would say a pretty good rookie year, and hasn't done jack shit since. But I have to give Joe credit for consistently playing the waiver wire every single week. And we talk about it all the time. And just the way we've played the waiver wire, it doesn't matter who we even pick up, is different than the past. And that tells me Joe Judge is influencing a little bit. So it's nice to see them bringing in guys to hopefully take some snaps. I mean, I would love for Pettis to turn it on, man. I loved Pettis when he was at Washington.
Devontae Freeman, yeah. Alfred Morris, Yadam.
You said it.
Oh, no, Yadam was a trade. Who was it? Lewis and now Pettis that we brought in.
Even a trade is fine, too. You said it. That's Joe Judge not waving the white flag. And maybe I just never paid attention to it, or we just always signed bums and they got cut from the practice squad. But I feel like this is the most active year we've been on the waiver.
I agree with you. I don't really remember too many waiver transactions in the past. What about you, Tino?
And that just kind of goes back to what Tino was talking about earlier. You know, this coaching staff isn't afraid to give guys shots. So if Pettis is playing next week, I won't be shocked. I doubt he's probably not able to play this week, I'm guessing, because of COVID.
Yeah, right. So he won't be ready until next game.
You'll probably see him in the Eagles game, dude.
Here's my thing, though, and then this will segue into something that Tino wants to talk about. But Dante Pettis, I really like the idea. When I saw him get waived by San Fran, I was like, hey, bring this guy in. I have no problem giving him a shot. He was a second-round pick by the San Francisco 49ers. But Dante Pettis, he's kind of the same build as Darius Slayton, man. 6'1", 195 pounds. You're not really getting your possession wide receiver, though. So, Tino, there was something that you saw that you were really intrigued by. Why don't you go ahead and talk about it?
Oh, yeah, so absolutely intrigued. Not even more intrigued, just it's an it's happening moment, something that we take a lot of pride in on this show. We were the first ones to say, I think Murph actually was the one to sprinkle a little Allen Robinson juju into the air, and then it's just trickled down. I was like, wow, I mean, that's an amazing fit. And here we are, now 8 weeks into the season, where Allen Robinson, who doesn't really tweet all that much, is complimenting Darius Slayton, saying he's going to be a beast in this league for years to come. I love that because he's going to be a teammate for Darius Slayton for years to come. And it's beautiful. Allen Robinson made a great play on Sunday for a touchdown, a diving grab, and I could just see him in the blue. That tweet alone just gave me goosebumps with the idea that the Giants could actually do something this offseason to really better this offense. And I just wish he was on the team now. Obviously, we could have technically traded for him, and we did nothing instead, and we got Dante Pettis, but yeah, man, Allen Robinson, let's go, boys. Get the edits out. Keep them out. Open the file up.
So what Tino's talking about is on Clapback Sports, we had a jersey edit thanks to our friend on Twitter, JerseyMomo22. He did the jersey swap for us for Allen Robinson. We put it out there. We kind of added Allen Robinson, talked to him about possibly playing for the New York Giants. So Tino's definitely a little excited about that. And, hey, man, you know what? You're right. I mean, to credit Darius Slayton and for Allen Robinson to actually see that and then actually to go ahead and put it out there and to actually tweet it, and Darius Slayton responded to him as well. So, yeah, it was certainly something positive.
Like, I wasn't as excited about the Golladay news. I'm just more excited at the idea that – I mean, even that a free agent would want to come play with the Giants. Honestly, I think that's just the thing I'm getting excited about. Allen Robinson would want to come to this offense because, God, do we need him.
I like Golladay because I think he's more of the possession wide receiver that the Giants need. But Allen Robinson would certainly be a nice fit for us as well. And guess what? We need to get the fuck Golden Tate off this team. Murph, that's your boy, man. You love Golden Tate. What's going on here?
I don't fucking know, man. Who cares?
Golden Tate.
Everybody's already turned on him anyway, so.
Yeah, so apparently he was sent home today, too, for disciplinary reasons. I guess apparently stemming from his whole.
What, him yelling at the sidelines?
Or yeah, pretty
much. And his wife.
Yeah, pretty much. But so he was sent home today.
I don't give a fuck anymore. Nobody's bigger than the Giants.
You're right, but then what do the Giants do with him from this point forward? That's it. The trade deadline's over. It's gone.
Golden Tate's not going to be on this team anymore, man.
Do you hold him until the end of the year? Did anybody make
Unless he throws another fit, he'll probably be on the roster for the rest of the year, but he's gone this offseason. He's going to force his way out for sure. I mean, it's not. How is it not obvious? He wants out.
You know what? If I was Joe Judge, what I would do is I'd play him. I'd just fucking pepper him with targets.
Me too.
That's it.
Honestly, you might see that.
Let him get his shit. Let him get his shit rocked. And then, you know, fuck him.
You might see that. I mean, hey, I've said it the last 3 weeks. Team's fucking mentally drained. So emotions are going to fucking hit eventually.
I don't know about that.
I don't care if you don't know about that. You've played sports. Losing hurts. Especially when you're fucking 1-7. And you've won how many games in the last 2 years?
Well, my feelings are hurt now that you said that.
Yeah, it was aggressive.
I mean, come on. You're not being realistic, dude. I mean, this team is fucking drained. But,
no, because, I mean, if you're talking about drained, I mean, the product would show on the field, then it doesn't, right? I mean,
mean they're not mentally drained from losing.
All right. I'll give that to you.
I mean, we see it in Danny's fucking face every week. They're human beings, dude. Nobody wants to lose. You don't want your sales to be down at work for 2 years straight.
Murph, do you want to talk about it? What's going on?
Dude, hey, man, we forget about the human element in this all the time. And, you know, I wouldn't want to be on a losing team, dude, and especially if I'm a 32-year-old vet.
I get it. But at the same time, a lot of these players that are on the team are here for the first time.
Makes it even worse. You've won 4 games in your career.
I get it, but I mean, I don't know.
Guy like Dalvin Tomlinson, bless that man's soul. Bless his soul and give him every fucking dollar because he's gone through the dirt and back.
I love Dalvin. I want Dalvin back.
I mean, how many wins?
Resign Leo.
Since we drafted Dalvin, I would love to know how many wins we have.
I'm sure we could look it
like
up. We're running
12?
Out of time, though.
12?
And, Tino, to your point earlier, something that you talked about with Penei Sewell, I think if the Giants don't end up with the first or second overall pick, I think that we take the offensive tackle as well. The one thing that I'm pretty adamant about, I'm sure Dave Gettleman would agree, is I don't think you could ever have enough in linemen. Depth is really important to this team, especially prior to this year. We saw what happens with the injuries along the offensive line. The Giants still have holes. We still need a wide receiver. We still need an edge rusher, linebacker, corner. But I think you're better off buying those pieces. And also, too, is because the uncertainty with the draft. Jeffrey Okuda was, what, the 4th overall pick this year? He hasn't really played all that well. I'd rather draft the offensive lineman and then buy those other pieces so that you have some sort of certainty of what you get.
By the way, do we need to draft a young edge rusher? Carter Coughlin, Cam Brown got some love this week. Love that. Love
Cam
that. They were both in
the
mix, man. They got a motor. Those two got a motor.
Kyle Fackrell could
– no, but I like that they were seeing the field too. That's a change that we saw this week as well, which I liked.
Absolutely.
Again, all the Joe Judge guys are playing. The other guys have taken a back seat. And going back to the draft, just one piece. This coaching staff's not going to be afraid to move Andrew Thomas around and take another tackle. So it's not going to be Eric Flowers over again. Or they'll just cut their fucking losses and trade him. But, I mean, why can't he play right guard? Why can't he play left guard?
I have no problem with him playing next to Penei Sewell on that left side of the line and then start Matt Peart at the right side.
And he will. He'll get a shot there because this coaching staff isn't afraid.
And then move Will Hernandez to right if you need to.
Get him the
help. Or Shane Lemieux.
Yeah, so, you roll with Shane and Andrew Thomas. You get Penny in there.
But, again, the Giants do need depth at the position. So, you know, I know we talk about, oh, great, well, we have our front five. Well, who do you have behind them, too? You know, our boy Mr. Chris always talks about having a swing tackle, which is something that the Giants really use also. That's where having a guy like a Gates or a Lemieux or even Hernandez comes in handy. But, all right, let's transition over to our pick segment, Clap Back All Stacks. Tino, what do you have this week?
Well, so our underdog pick of the week last week, the Raiders pulled out big time. And I don't know if you guys remember me telling you, whenever you see the Cleveland Browns listed as a favorite, at any time ever, you say no, and you bet the opposite. Do you remember this? And
it exactly did say this.
They scored 6 points. Don't blame the weather. They scored 6 points. So with that said, we're going to look for another underdog pick. I actually normally give you guys a Thursday pick. Last week's Thursday pick was a sham. I took the Panthers, and Teddy got hurt, and they ended up losing. It started a really weird week. The Packers versus the 49ers are listed to play Thursday, tomorrow when this comes out. We still don't know if that's definitely going to happen because of the COVID scare with the 49ers. I just saw word that they said it's set to schedule. So with that said, I'll give you a pick here. And I like the Packers -6, but definitely monitor that and check your fantasy lineups because that could mess everything up drastically for you guys. Obviously, there's a lot of players on both those teams, more the Packers. The 49ers have lost everyone by now, but keep note of that. So we got Packers -6, but then the underdog play of the week. And there's some good ones. There are some really good ones here. But I'm going to take the home dogs of the Buffalo Bills. Give me the 3 points. I like them money line. It's going to be a big prove-it game against the Seattle Seahawks. Seattle has looked all but perfect this season against that slip-up. Other than that slip-up against the Cardinals, they look almost indestructible. I do think there's going to be a 3-point game, whether the Bills fully win or not. I guess we'll be seeing. They've played sluggish football lately. But I love the over in that game at 55, but I'm pulling for my Bills. To beat the Seattle Seahawks at home. Seattle coming West Coast to East Coast. And Buffalo's cold this time of year, boys. So something to keep note of. I would expect a run-heavy game from both sides there. But give me the over. And the Bills.
And the Giants' money line!
You know, speaking of the Giants, I say this every week, and you guys were shitting on them last week. I said, all right, well, 12.5 is a lot of points. That's not going to happen. The Giants don't know how to do that. 5-3 against the spread. They should be 6-2, but they were more than a point favorite against the football team, and that's why that record is skewed. But against good teams, they cover. Take the Giants 3-2 if you want. But they're going to win that game outright, right, Mage? Money line. Money line.
Yeah, well, fuck me. I played the money line, and it was actually looking really good for a long time there, too.
Money line, too.
Believe it or not, I also played like a 16 parlay where I took all dogs, all money line, and only two teams to fuck me were the Jets and the Giants. Otherwise, I laid, I think it was like, I put down like $5 or $10 or something, and payout would have been like 12 grand.
Well, yeah, I know you had the Dolphins. Sweet. So there were some big dogs. The Dolphins, the Bengals, the Vikings.
Falcons I had too, I believe.
Falcons were huge. I remember that one, yeah. And then you had the Giants in there. The Jets were a bit extreme. That's probably why it was 12 grand. But that's what I got for you guys. We get it. We're 1-1 most weeks, 2-0 a few weeks. So ideally, we're going to go 2-0 this week. I actually gave you three picks, so 3-0. But, yeah.
All right. Any final words, boys?
Let's go Giants.
Go G-Man.
All right. That's going to wrap up this episode of Clapback Sports. Thank you, everybody, for listening. Peace and love, everyone.